Hello and welcome to Reasonably Fit. We're Jason and Lauren Pack, and this is the podcast for anyone who wants a more thoughtful and grounded approach to health and fitness.
If you'd like to support our show, we have a couple discount codes you can use on some of our personal favorite products. The first is for our favorite workout footwear, Vivo Barefoot. Vivos are the best of the best when it comes to minimal footwear, and the Primus Lights are the shoes you see us wearing in all of our Instagram content. You can save 10% off your entire Vivo Barefoot purchase with the code JLPACK10. That's JLPAK10. Just go to www.vivobarefoot.com or click the link in our show notes to get a pair today. The second is for our favorite supplement brand, Legion. We've tried so many different supplement brands over the years, and right now nothing beats Legion. Our current go-tos are the whey protein powder, pulse pre-workout, creatine, and immune support, because if you listen to this show, you know our kids are constantly bringing home new viruses from school. We almost always turn down partnership deals because we only ever want to work with brands that we use and love ourselves, and we actually reached out to Legion to partner because we love it so much. You can use code PAK20, that's PAK20, for 20% off your first order and then double loyalty points for subsequent orders, which is the equivalent of 10% cash back. Just go to www.legionathletics.com or click the link in our show notes. Using our codes really helps to support our show and it saves you money at the same time, so we think it's a win-win. Okay, with that said, let's get into today's episode.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back.
Hi, this is a bonus.
This is a special mini episode.
We were away for 4 weeks and now we're here twice in 1 week.
Twice in your ears, so I hope you are excited.
Yeah, and I'm sorry for my raspy voice. I have a cold.
No, this is her sultry attempt.
Yeah, I'm trying to be cool. Trying to be Phoebe from that one episode. I don't know.
Is this Friends?
Yeah.
I've never watched... Is it your favorite show? Or is The Office your favorite show?
No, The Office by far.
By far. Is Friends what, like second?
Friends, no, I wouldn't even say that. I don't even go back and watch Friends now. It's pretty, it didn't age well. That's it didn't age well as The Office aged very well.
The Office aged well.
Yeah, The Office is still like.
I guess because they leaned into the fact that they were purposely being politically incorrect.
Exactly. Yeah. Like Michael Scott is politically incorrect, but like the rest of the cast acknowledges it. And like you as the audience, like you're aware that.
They're like joking.
But they actually know. It's just great. But Friends, not so much. There's some stuff in there. But anyway, I mean, in high school, I watched Friends a lot. So I've watched every episode. And there's one where Phoebe gets a cold and then her singing voice gets like awesome. And she gets all these people like thinking that she's amazing. And then she tries to like keep it. So she keeps trying to get a cold because she sounds really better. Funny. Yeah, it's funny. But this is, I would prefer to not have a cold and not sound cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, today we are talking about mobility.
Yes.
Since this is a mini episode, I feel like we should just get right into it instead of our banta. Oh, actually, speaking of banta.
You're going to go into a long.
We've been mildly obsessed with the show Love Island, especially the UK version of Love Island.
Very specifically the UK version. Yeah. We watched the US version. We were like, meh.
They were fine. We watched a couple seasons.
Only one, I think.
Wasn't it two seasons? It was two seasons for sure. Yeah, two seasons for sure. And we were like, okay, like there's nothing else on TV like that kind of like is mindless television. And so we started watching that. But then Lauren was like, apparently the UK version is way better. And we watched it. And it started off a little bit slow because everyone, like the language is, you know, basically the same, but there's so many different like phrases and terminology and all that, that we at first like had trouble kind of like catching on.
We had to turn on subtitles too.
Yeah, we're like, what are they even talking about? And now we're like, it's like we're British. That's like how we talk at home.
Like, we're using their language. We're like, oh, you want to go for a chin wag?
Yeah. Good chat. Well chilled. Good banter.
So anyway. If you don't watch Love Island or if you're not British, you have no idea what we're talking about. But it's actually really fun to learn like their slang words and stuff. It's like,
what season did we watch? UK? Five?
Five, I think.
Watch season five. Start there if you haven't already because that was a phenomenal season.
It was excellent.
Be forewarned that it is apparently a daily show in the UK and in the US. So it was like 2 months in a row.
Yeah, it's like 50 episodes.
I don't even know how like logistically that works out, but there's a ton of episodes, but they keep you roped in with all these cliffhangers and twists and turns and all that. And yeah. I thoroughly enjoy it.
It's very trashy TV.
Very trashy, but very good.
Yeah.
Anyway, so back to mobility.
You're like, we're not going to go on any tangents. Now let's talk for 2 minutes about Love Island.
All right. So mobility is a topic that is near and dear to us. It has been a topic that we've really been posting on social media for the longest time.
Since the start of our social media page.
Yeah. I feel like that's kind of what has helped our page like be propelled forward. A lot of our mobility stuff. And a lot of it is due to the fact that it has been a very high priority for us when working with the general population when we were personally training. And we realized how important it was because people just have been living increasingly sedentary lifestyles. And we realized that we can't just have people come in and just start squatting right away or deadlifting right away. There needed to be some sort of bridge, some sort of prep in order to lead them into the actual strength training portions of their workouts. And so over the years, Lauren and I have really just delved deep into different workshops and continuing education and seminars and books and conferences all around mobility and movement quality and things like that. And so over the years, over the last 16 years, we've really had sort of like various stages, various eras, if you're a Taylor Swift fan, of our sort of like mobility
continuum. We should do an eras mobility, eras like real, and it's just all, it wouldn't be funny to anyone except us.
Just for us, yeah. But basically our first era, I would say, is the sort of functional movement screen sort of era. Now, yeah. Actually, no, even before that was corrective exercise specialists.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah. But anyway, the general gist of that era was you had to do a lot of corrective exercise, a lot of mobility work, a lot of prehab, a lot of activation drills before you were ready to work out. Otherwise, you would instantaneously get injured.
Break your back.
And so what we would have people do is a 15 to 20 minute warm-up before their strength training when they started their hour with us. And we had the audacity to tell people, come in 15 to 20 minutes prior to that to foam roll on their own. We're like, we're going to spend 20 to 30 minutes on this first session with you to go on the foam roller and learn you, like, teach you everything you need to know about the foam roller so that you can start coming in 15 to 20 minutes early before a session begins to foam roll. And looking back at that, it's definitely cringe and definitely the exact opposite approach of what we would take these days. But back then, that's what we thought you had to do in order to minimize the risks for injury, in order to maximize your results, and that's what we recommended.
And the thing is that even though we cringe at it now, for not because it wasn't working.
True.
Because it did. I mean, it helped people move better. It helped people feel better. Like, nobody was like, this is pointless. People were like, oh, wow, I'm moving so much better. Oh, I feel so much better. The reason we cringe is that we were wasting people's time by spending that much time on it because it wasn't necessary to be spending 20, 25, 30 minutes. We could have been doing that. We could have been expediting the process so that they could get into their workout and get results in other ways too, because mobility wasn't the only thing that they were coming to us for.
Right. Yeah. And it was also like just a big proposition to adhere to. It's like, first of all, it's difficult enough to come into the gym to do strength training, but to come in for an hour and 15, hour and 20 minute commitment, it just seems like way more daunting and raises the barrier of entry. So on a couple of different fronts, not related to the results, it wasn't ideal.
Yeah.
So that was sort of like our original mobility era. And I think we took a lot of pride in it. I feel like we were like, oh, these are cutting edge exercises, like we're really helping people minimize the risk for injury. And then to agree, I think we were. But over time, we realized, and there's a lot more like information coming out, that it wasn't quite as necessary to spend that much time foam rolling, that much time stretching and doing prehab work and stuff like that, to the point where the pendulum completely shifted the other way. And all sorts of articles came out about how foam rolling was useless. It doesn't do anything for adhesions and muscle knots and stuff like that. And that all these corrective exercises were a waste of time.
I remember specifically people were like, you can't call it self-myofascial release. It was like very specific about like everybody called it SMR, self-myofascial release. And then all these like massage therapists came out and they're like, you can't actually reach the fascia, so you can't call it that. And it was like, why are we, this is semantics. Like, is it helpful or is it not? Like, it just got so, people got so heated about like, is this
like the wording?
Yeah, the wording. And just like, I don't know, because people were spending so much time doing this, this is what happens with so many things in all industries and walks of life, is the pendulum completely swings the other way, to the point where then instead of saying like, hey, the way that you're saying the foam roller works might not be exactly how it works, but there are still some benefits. People don't do that. That's too logical. They go to like, why are you even using the foam roller? It's stupid. It's pointless. Don't use it at all. And you're like, whoa.
Yeah. And honestly, this is kind of what has cultivated our whole social media approach. A lot of people will say, oh, I love that you all are not preachy, not dogmatic, not judgmental. And it's because we've gone through all these phases of going from one end of the spectrum to the other end of the spectrum. And we realize that the answer always sort of comes back towards the middle over the years. And so we don't want to be in a position where 5 years from now, we're like, wow, we were really aggressively like preachy about this one topic. And we believe sort of the opposite now. It's like, let's just be as open-minded as possible and present information in a way that isn't just to like get a rise out of people, but just like tell it how it is based upon our experience and based upon what the literature is saying and things like that. And so we're trying to just give people just a more realistic and more reasonable approach to all these things.
Yeah, it's always going to be the best that we know right now. And that could change. And that's like, I think if you have that mindset of like, I'm going to present you the best information that I have available to me right now. But I'm going to be open to saying next week that I found out that that's not exactly right. Let's tweak it a little bit. Like, then you're just being like, that's a good trainer. That's a good, like, if you never change your mind, if you never evolve, you're going to be like stuck and you're never going to help people.
In the past. Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, we did get influenced by that. And I feel like we kind of had a bit of a personal experiment. We still had our trainees, our clients following mobility routines. But I feel like we personally were like, okay, let's just stop doing all of the mobility work, all the foam rolling that we had been doing. Let's just do lighter sets of whatever exercise we're about to do that day and just kind of ease into the workout. And honestly, I would say the first 3 weeks or so, I was like, you know, this is fine. I don't miss the stuff that we were doing that much at all. And I feel like I can get right into the workout much quicker. And this feels like just like an easier approach. And then I would say, you know, a month goes by, 2 months goes by, 3 months. And I'm like, okay, I can't just go from sitting 8 hours in a row to just doing a few light sets of squats and then expect me to be at my best during my strength training. I also can't expect that to be at all helpful for when I am playing like sports like football or whatever I was playing back in the day. I just felt way stiffer, less free, and just tighter overall. Yeah. Almost from like a neurological standpoint, maybe not even a muscular standpoint. I just felt like more restricted because I wasn't exposing myself to the usual ranges of motion I was prior.
I will say that for me, I didn't notice it having as much of an impact on my workout. And I think that that's where this gets a little bit convoluted in the way that people are presenting it as like, you don't have to warm up for your workouts.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to. And I did notice that like, my workouts weren't really suffering that much. It did take me a couple extra warm-up sets to like get into it, and I didn't feel fresh going into set number one like I do when I do a 5-minute like mobility routine first. But overall, my workout was pretty much fine. But yeah. I noticed it in my day-to-day because that's when I do mobility work, is in my warm-up. And so I wasn't then moving that 5 minutes 4 to 5 days a week anywhere else. Right. So over the course of my week, that adds up to 20, 25 minutes of mobility work. And I wasn't doing that anywhere else. So now I just wasn't doing mobility work, period.
Right.
And then I was noticing that things were getting stiffer. Even just waking up in the morning, like took a couple steps for my ankles to loosen up and things just felt stiff.
Yeah. And, you know, I would say the next era after that was because people were recommending not to stretch or to foam roll, there was a lot more education around sort of like the neurological side of mobility and things like that, and saying that the brain, your nervous system, they're the governors for how tense your muscles are and things like that. And so to counteract that, here are different ways to incorporate breathing drills, to incorporate different like neurological positions and patterns like rolling and crawling and these all sorts of like hacks to basically get your brain in mind and body to sort of relax a little bit and release sort of that muscular tension. Mm. And so we started gravitating towards these workshops and certifications where we're like, oh, okay, this must be the reason why we're starting to feel a little bit tight, even though we know that foam rolling and stretching doesn't do as much as, you know, as we thought before. And so we did all these sorts of like breathing things, and it was definitely helpful, but I just still felt like there was something missing in our overall routines and regimens. And now keep in mind throughout this time, I mean, we had our gym for close to 10 years and we kind of treated it as if it was like a laboratory. Yeah. Like everyone would be following the same general programming structure with individual tweaks within each program, but everyone's following the same general structure. And so we would make tweaks to the overall program and we would instantly have feedback from, you know, 300
people, yeah,
right away. And we'd be in constant meetings with our team to figure out like, okay, is this working? Is that working? And this working? And it's like, we had a great sample size right off the bat. And so we were able to just test a lot of our theories and a lot of our approaches with this sort of like laboratory group and figure out which approach was working the best. And sort of what we sort of gravitated towards was almost like a happy medium between all the different approaches.
Shockingly.
Yeah, exactly. And so we realized that starting with some neurological breathing work was really helpful. But then we would go into some of the traditional stretches that we used to do back in our first era. And then we would also incorporate some activation drills and stuff like that. And we started off with, I would say, like 11 to 12 different drills. And we thought that was short because we had been used to a 15 to 20 minute warm up. That this new sort of format took about 10 to 12 minutes or so. And we kept kind of paring it down because people were getting a little bit disgruntled that it was taking so long to get into the workout. And so we started paring it down. We're like, okay, what do we truly need just from like a baseline level? And we just kept paring things down until we got to the point where we're like, okay, you know what? We can get pretty much everything that we need to get accomplished with just like a handful of drills. Like 3 to 5 drills was really all we really needed to make a big impact. And the biggest impact that we can make was just having them come into the gym more frequently and strength training through a full range of motion. So when all these sort of three variables were combined together, it really elicited a fantastic result. So much more than someone coming in once or twice a week doing a full 30-minute mobility and foam rolling session. Like those gains wouldn't really stick as much as someone coming in multiple times per week doing a very abbreviated warm-up, but compounding that with strength training through a full range of motion and going through this sort of more intentional, targeted approach rather than just a smattering of mobility drills all at once.
Yeah, definitely. And I think one of the reasons that it used to take so long was because we really thought that we needed to individually address every single joint in the body, every single workout.
Right.
Because at that time, a lot of people were only coming in and working out once or twice a week. So we were like, we have to maximize all of the mobility like gains in that short period of time. So it's like, if we only have 1 or 2 days, we got to do the neck, the shoulders, the wrists, the T-spine, the lower back, the hips, the knees, the ankles. Like that takes a while. We have to do a drill for every single one. And then we started to realize, number one, just increasing, like you just said, just increasing the frequency allowed you to pare that down. Number two, combining some of these movements together, or combining some of these joints together into a mobility drill, like say a Spider-Man lunge, for example, will get hips, but it'll also, if you add a rotation, it'll get shoulders and T-spine, and we can kind of do some more combinations that will address different areas. So we just started to get a lot more creative with how we could combine things and with helping people to realize that more frequency and more consistency with these mobility sessions allowed them to have to do less at a time.
Yeah. And the reason why people were coming in just a couple times per week, you just kind of reminded me, like I got like memories, and it's because it was just cost prohibitive for people to come see us, you know, 3, 4, 5 times per week and whatnot. And so, yeah, we felt this like anxiety that we had to cover everything all at once every single time we saw the person because we wanted to make sure that we maximized their time.
They're $100 for that hour. Exactly. Right? And it's like you have to, and then, but then you spend 20 minutes on mobility and you're like, shoot, we haven't even started working out yet.
And so, yeah, that's such a funny flashback I just had. And so this has been sort of a journey that we've been on for the last 16 years or so. And over the last 3 or so years, as we've been putting together mobility routines on social media and putting together mobility warm-ups with our Rise program, we sort of notice what people are really just kind of down for from a mobility perspective. And, you know, with the Rise program, I think we started off with around eight or so moves.
Yeah.
And we're like, okay, people, not only are they not doing this because it just seems so daunting, it was so overwhelming.
Yeah.
And so we were like, okay, let's cut it down to 7. Let's cut it down to 6. And we're like, we've just been slowly paring it down more and more. And they used to be super complex and a lot of instructions and directions. And now it's just to the point where we're like, okay, we need hyper-targeted mobility drills that are simple to do, that are easy to wrap your head around, and very approachable. And so over the last three or so years, I feel like we've really pared down our list of mobility drills that are just kind of like our go-tos that we know work for the specific joints that we're trying to target. And I feel like we have just a good grasp of what feels manageable and approachable, but also effective as well.
Yes. The one thing I will say that is challenging about that is that we, for every mobility drill that we know, and we've accumulated so many at this point over the years, there's always going to be progressions, regressions, like ways to work up to a more advanced variation. It's hard when it's a monthly recurring program where new people are joining on all the time. Mm. It's hard to say, like, last month we did this month do this, because if somebody new just joining on, they might not have that skill, like that ability yet. And then if we start to have to add a bunch of like regressions, then the list of exercises again becomes like 12 things, and that's a little bit
weird. Yeah, then people just want to do it.
Right.
Yeah.
So with that being said, that sort of was one of the things that we were thinking about when we realized that it's something a little bit more standalone in terms of mobility, and providing a mobility program that can progress over time would be really, really beneficial, not just for our Rise members, because they do have a general mobility warm-up, but just for people in general, even if they don't do our Rise program, who are just looking to improve their mobility, but do it in a way that is approachable, manageable, not taking hours a day, really just a few minutes, 5 minutes a day, and that can build over time so that eventually they can start to, you know, improve their range of motion and just feel better in general and have something that's actually really structured to follow along.
Yeah. And this is something that, I mean, this has been in the works since last February. I believe. It's been a long time. I mean, we've been just racking our brains of like trying to figure out the best approach. And I remember we were on a flight to Florida, I believe it was in March.
Yeah.
And we had this whole concept lined up of just like this, I forget if it was 6 weeks or not, but it was a mobility routine, but it was way too much. It was like too many exercises, too many movements, too complex. And I was going down this rabbit hole, like kind of like geeking out with all these like nerdy terminology. And I remember 3 months after, I mean, we had mapped this thing out to a T. 3 months after, I was like, I just don't know. And you're like, I don't know either. And we're like, back to the drawing board. But I feel like that really gave us clarity on, okay, what are people going to actually do? Like, what is someone who is a complete beginner to mobility, like, what are they going to actually want to do and stick to and adhere to? Or what is someone who is already on Rise? Like, what are they actually going to do? And so, like, we took all these sorts of different, like, archetype people. Mm. And we're like, okay, I think what seems to be the most reasonable sort of approach and most effective approach is something that is a daily movement session thing. And if it's going to be daily, that gives us some breathing room to not have it be so intense and comprehensive each session.
Every day, yeah.
And so rather than having a way longer mobility session, let's say a few times per week, we're like, let's have it be the absolute bare minimum, the most, like, the minimum effective dose for each day, And we know those gains will compound over time. And so we came up with this whole sort of system of no more than 3 moves each day, making it last less than 5 minutes each session, and having it be a daily program that lasted for 6 weeks, maybe 6 weeks plus, which we'll get into in a little bit. And that felt really, really good.
Yeah. And it really took our principle, like it's like principle number 2 of Reasonably Fit, which is consistency over intensity.
Yeah.
Like we talk about it all the time with our workouts. It's so much better to be consistent with workouts that are a little bit more manageable, that might be so not be so intense, but doing it consistently is what's going to matter the most. And it's the same thing here, like consistently working on your mobility, even if it's just for a few minutes a day, is going to be so much more beneficial than every once in a while spending a half an hour on your mobility.
Right, totally. And so we've been subtly inceptioning some 5-minute mobility routines throughout our last year of content.
You say subtly, but like we weren't actually doing that on purpose.
Yeah,
it's true. actually is something that
how we would do it.
Yeah, we would do it that way, and like it makes now it's like coming together and making so much sense. But we were doing that already because we knew that that was manageable for people.
Yeah, no one was going to do 7-minute mobility, but they definitely would do 5 minutes if we showed something with modifications. And so yeah, and they've all been getting great feedback, and I feel like was just very approachable and manageable, as opposed to maybe some of the stuff you might see on social media, which is like, all right, let's just drop into this Cossack squat and follow it up with a pistol squat and do this deep squat stretch. And it's like, whoa, that's like the very end of the mobility spectrum. Yeah. Like we got to bring this thing back a little bit for the average user going through mobility stuff. And so that's really where the whole like progressive mobility routine kind of spawned. And so with this 6-week program, have we even said the name?
Nope.
The name is Pursuit Mobility. It's a 6-week progressive program. And so week 1, we start off with kind of our baseline drills. And I wouldn't say they're easy, but they are manageable. Easily manageable and scalable for basically everyone.
Yeah.
And so we start with these baseline skills in week 1. Week 2, we add some more complexity to them. Week 3, add some more complexity, and so on and so forth until week 6. It actually gets fairly challenging, and you are working up to moves like a Cossack or a windmill or things that are a little bit more advanced that you typically see in the very first stages of any other social media post.
Yeah.
And so as you're going through the program, you're really going to find yourself being like, oh, I see what they're doing here. Like I did that this way last week, and now they're adding this little twist in rotation, or they're adding this extra element that is increasing the range of motion. Like I see what they're doing here, and it feels not only just like you're accomplishing something, but it just feels like gains are actually happening.
Yeah.
Which feels really good and makes you want to stick to it more.
Totally. Yeah, just like with anything else, when you're experiencing results, you are motivated to keep going. And when you are frustrated, you're less motivated to keep going. So when you get to something and you can't do it, it's very easy to quit and give up on it. And so we didn't want that to happen. And we wanted people to feel very much successful on week 1 and then to be able to build off of that. So that is hopefully what you are going to experience when you start this out. And what you'll also notice, and one of the reasons that we were able to pare it down to just 3 moves a day, is we ended up breaking it up into upper body, lower body, and hybrid days. And then it goes lower, upper, hybrid, lower, upper, and then a joint specific one. We broke down wrists, ankles, and shoulders into specific days just because those are joints that sometimes need a little bit of extra love and didn't fall into the other 2 categories, 3 categories.
And so an example of what that might look like is, let's say on day 1, we do an upper back rotation, like a T-spine rotation. That is involved in day 1. Day 2, let's say we do a Spider-Man lunge. That is more of a lower body-based drill. And on day 3, the hybrid, we combine the 2 moves together and do a Spider-Man lunge into a rotation. And so that's what we mean by being progressive. That's what we mean by as you go through it, like, oh, I see what's happening here. They're linking these 2 moves together, making it a little bit more difficult and challenging, and helping me progress better. And this is something that I probably couldn't do had I not gone through the prerequisite steps prior to that point.
Yeah, exactly. So you're going to see that throughout the entire 6 weeks. It just builds and builds and builds. And as you go along, you should really see your mobility improving and just start feeling better.
Now, after having written the original program, scrapping that entire project, scrapping the name altogether as well, we pulled together this sort of like grouping of exercises, you know, fairly quickly. I would say it took us a few days to just like really buckle down and figure out exactly which moves in which order we wanted to sequence everything. But what really ended up taking a lot of time was just filming everything.
Oh, yeah.
And so we learned from our previous sort of mini mobility project, I would say, it was called Explore, that people wanted sort of more videos and just like more
stuff.
More stuff, yeah, basically. And so we were like, okay, we want to pack this guide with as much sort of like information around it as possible. And so what we ended up doing was we shot each drill individually. And not only do we just do it, like show you how to do it, we actually walk you through it.
We talk
you through it while we're walking ourselves through it. And we just made it so that it was as comprehensive for each drill as possible. And so let's say, I don't know, let's take a Spider-Man lunge, for example. We video ourselves going through the Spider-Man lunge sequence, giving you sort of like little tips and tricks to get into positions better, when to breathe, just like all the little things that you'd want to know about each mobility drill. We go through, we switch sides, we show you kind of like little different angles and stuff like that. And we did that for all 120 drills. And it was also important for us to caption it as well. And so I went in and typed every single word individually, which if you've heard Lauren talk, she talks a mile a minute. And so I was just typing frantically forever. So
you're welcome for the typing lesson.
So it was 120 drills that we had to do there. And then we were like, you know what? It would also probably be helpful to have follow-along videos as well.
I remember when we decided this, we were like, this is going to be helpful, and this means we have to film 42 more videos that are going to be 5 minutes long each, and just like calculating out how much time that actually was going to take.
And so we went through that whole process, and there were so many mess-ups, technical issues, stopwatch timer issues. So we kept having to do reshoots over and over. And so it was just a lot to do behind the scenes. And then we were like, you know what? After people go through the program, they're probably going to want to just be able to quickly reference. So they're not going to want to click on a video. So they probably want pictures too. And so we were like, okay, let's shoot 120 different pictures and thumbnails to go along with each exercise so that people could quickly reference. And yeah, I think that's the main gist of it all. And then
just like wording, like adding, we added like a video on breathing and like adding some more context to why all of this is important and how to make the most of it, basically. So it ended up becoming like, I think it's like 45 pages.
It's a pretty extensive guide. And yeah, I guess a lot of it also had to do with like kids getting sick and travel and holidays, like all that sort of stuff. And it's like anytime you stop a big project like this, it's so hard to get it back going again. It's like you can't just work on this giant project like 20 minutes in between your normal day-to-day activities. So we were like, okay, we had some weeks and it was getting to the point where we were delayed. We were like, we're going to have to push this back to September. And then we both got really angry. We're like, no, this is ridiculous. And we just set ourselves a deadline and we've been working nonstop to achieve this deadline. But we're feeling good now. We love how it came out. It came out so, so good. We're very happy about it. So I know that a lot of you will get a lot out of it.
Yeah, 100%. It's probably the thing I'm most proud of that we've put out so far.
I think so. I mean, I'm pretty proud of Rise every time it goes out.
Yeah, I guess.
But this is a little bit different.
I meant more like a standalone.
One and done product.
Yeah.
We're very pleased about.
We're very
pleased and proud.
Very pleased.
It sounds so like terrible.
UK, a new, we're just pleased.
We're pretty pleased, yeah.
And we kind of glossed over the name. We barely even mentioned it, Pursuit Mobility. But the reason that we called it that is we actually, everything that we do, we're in pursuit of a better version of ourselves, right? And so like we're in pursuit of better mobility is what we were thinking. And so it's not just like this mobility program that's going to make you a super bendy, flexible person automatically forever, because that's just not how bodies work. And so, but what you can do is always be in pursuit of better mobility. And you can continue to go through this program several times. And each time you're going to be achieving a little bit more range of motion and just getting a little bit more mobile. And so we really liked the word pursuit because it really fit our ethos and just sort of like how we believe people should approach all things around health and fitness. And so we called it Pursuit Mobility to leave a window open to potentially have other pursuits down the line, right? So maybe there will be a pursuit
core
pursuit. Well, that doesn't really pursuit core. Well, we'll have to workshop it. But basically like in pursuit of better X, Y, or Z, basically. And so we are hoping that this is something that we can continue to, like an avenue we can continue to go down, is to offer these standalone products as something that could be really helpful for a more specific area of health and fitness, as opposed to Rise is really an all-encompassing thing. But not everyone wants to do a subscription service. Not everyone likes that form of paying for fitness, really. And so some people just want to pay for one thing and have it forever. And so, yeah, we're hoping that we can offer new pursuits down the road.
Yeah. So with all that being said, it is live as we speak. As you listen to this podcast, Pursuit Mobility is live. And if you're listening to this live, you can get the early bird special pricing deal that we have right now, which is almost 40% off, right? So we're going from the lifetime access price of $79.99 USD to $49.99 USD.
Yes.
And so that's a nearly 40% savings. That's probably going to be, I mean, the lowest it ever goes, yeah, I would say. And so if you're listening to this in real time, you basically have until today, until August 8th. From today, August 4th to August 8th, 11:59 p.m. Eastern Time, to get the special early bird pricing. And the code is
Mobility40. No spaces, no capital. Well, it could be caps or non-caps, whatever, however you want to enter it. But Mobility40. And you'll get almost 40% off.
Yeah. So we, again, are so excited. And a lot of our excitement is the fact that it's done. It's been on our to-do list forever. And it's just like this been like overarching thing that has been hanging over our heads. We're like, why can't we get this thing done?
It's, and especially like, because people are asking us for it almost every day.
Yeah.
Like literally we get an email or a message being like, do you guys have a mobility program? And we're like, oh my gosh, we do, but it's just not done. And it's so frustrating.
It's gonna be amazing.
Yeah. So we've been so excited just to get this out. I mean, twofold, just to get it done, but also because we think people are going to get a ton out of it. So we're really excited to hear your feedback. We can't wait to hear what everybody thinks about it. And yeah, it's live. Go get it.
Yeah. Woo. All right. We will be back to our regularly scheduled programming next Tuesday.
Yes.
So until next time,
sweat out.
Happiness in.